Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And, you know, on the heels of what we were talking about yesterday, there was the, you know, I mentioned the article that was about how slip and slide sales were through the roof during the pandemic and how there was this group of people who were calling slip and slides irresponsible. If you're a parent, if you get one, they're super dangerous. And this brought us into a conversation about how dangerous, you know, what all the crap we did to keep ourselves entertained when we were kids and the games we played. Like one of my favorites was the game that somebody said called Darkness, where they would just black out all the windows and they would put like balls inside of a sock and just sling them around until somebody got knocked out. And then there was Zoom, you know, the ones that the Gronkowski brothers did, where they would put pillows in their chest and then run as fast as they could into each other in the front yard.
Rich, yeah. I want to add something to you. See, I told you I had played the Darkness game when I was a kid with my cousins when I was in California. We had a round where you only could swing the ball in the sock. You could only swing it below your waist. So...
So it was purely around to hit people in the nuts.
That's true. It was like 5 minutes of nut shots.
Of course.
You walked around with the sock in one hand and your hand over your scrotum, and it was awful. You get your hand smashed or your nuts hit. It was awful.
So along those lines, so Mike Lockhart yesterday, you know, sometimes we email each other stuff, you know, we're gonna, you know, discuss the next day. And, you know, we were talking about how when we were kids, just everything was a million times more dangerous, it just seemed like. And I'm not one of these people who's like, kids nowadays are more protected. But, I mean, you know, now when kids are looking for entertainment, they'll go grab their, you know, Nintendo Switch, or they, you know, they've got all these video games they can play. Like, we had to make our own entertainment. And as you heard yesterday, a lot of it involved violence against each other. But there was also another element of how maybe our lives are a little more dangerous, and Mike Lockhart brought up there was a guy who just kind of hung around their neighborhood who would just talk to kids. What was this guy's name, Mike? Mike Lockhart, mind jumping on the mic. Yeah. What was this guy's name, and who was he?
So, Wallach, this one really hits home for you because this guy...
I've heard of this guy. Yeah. I've not seen him. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he would walk around and he would talk about the weather. He'd always be like, it's 68 degrees and sunny right now. And then he would ask us to punch him in the stomach. And he would lift up his shirt and, you know, I got one lick in one day. And a lot of my friends would spend their days after school punching this guy in the stomach. It was so weird.
Yeah, we had like a homeless guy.
Hang on, real quick. Joe, I'm sorry. This has to be explored. So this is a guy who just would go around randomly telling you the weather.
Yep. Yeah, he would be walking around downtown Natick talking about the weather.
Okay, and then if you made eye contact, he would say, punch me in the stomach?
No, he would just come right up to you and be like, hey, you guys want to punch me in the stomach? Punch me in the stomach. Because, you know, there's a common, like, right down in downtown Natick, mm-hmm. where a lot of kids would, like, hang out. And he'd come down there and he'd be like, hey, come punch me in the stomach. Come on over here and punch me in the stomach.
And at one point you thought it was a good idea to indeed punch him in the stomach.
Yeah, I was like, well, all my friends have taken their licks. Let me get one. It was like a rite of passage.
So what would happen when you punch the guy in the stomach? First of all, like, what does the guy look like?
He was just like a disheveled. He seemed probably a lot older than he really was because, you know, when you're a kid, people think that, you know, you're a lot older. But he was pretty disheveled and, you know, just kind of fat, had a big gut.
And he would invite people to punch him in the stomach. Okay, so when you punch this guy in the stomach, would he lift up his shirt?
Yes, he would lift up his shirt and then he'd punch him and be like, ugh.
All right, so first of all, just the hesitancy to actually touch somebody who would say, punch me, who is crazy enough to say, punch me in the stomach. I would have to watch myself in like a bleach bath.
Well,
in
this order is to like seventh grade when you don't care about anything, though.
It's a good point. So it's seventh. So he's going up to seventh graders saying, punch me. Man, what is up with like local people wanting to wrestle you with their shirt off and wanting you to punch? It was like we had Hurley in studio, and he said he had that like vice principal or whoever it was at his school who, when he had detention, you had to wrestle him with your shirt off. So you got that guy happening, and then you got this dude walking around dating. So when you would punch him in the stomach, would you go all in, or would it just kind of be just to make
it was as hard as you could, just rear back and lay one on this guy?
And what would he do?
He'd just kind of groan and grunt, and then he'd be on his way if nobody else wanted to punch him. It was so weird.
And he was always there.
He would come around. He wasn't always there, but he'd be like, oh, here comes the weatherman.
You don't understand. Rich, I mean, Mike, when did you move away from
about 2000, 2001.
Okay, so it's 20 years ago. They still talk about this guy.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's the weirdest thing you've ever heard of.
I mean, honest to God, people, and Natick has a lot of people that have lived there a very, very long time. I've run into these people. This guy always comes up in conversation.
Okay, so is he still around?
No, I haven't seen him. My kids play on the common, just like Mike did when he was a kid. My kids play on the common. You know, I know exactly where that common's about a mile and a half from my house.
Yeah.
And I know exactly where it is, and I've heard the stories. I've never seen the guy.
No.
No.
He's probably dead. I'm guessing this guy's dead.
He is. I actually just searched him.
Oh, okay.
You searched the weatherman?
He enjoyed gambling, horse racing, casinos, and traveling. Was one of the I looked him up.
Hang on, he did what? How do we know this?
I looked up Weatherman Natick, and somebody said a man named Stephen Luke has passed away, known as the AKA the Weatherman.
How long ago was this?
2013, it looks like.
Did he die of getting hit, punched? Okay, hang on. Let's go to Matt on line four. Matt,
okay.
Matt, what's you know this guy? Matt, line four.
I'm over 60, and I remember this guy on the common lifting his shirt and us hitting him in the stomach. This is amazing. I didn't even know people would bring this up.
Okay, so like now, how old were you when you punched the guy?
Oh, Christ. This has to be 30-something, more than 30 years ago, over 30 years ago. He's a kid. He's probably our age or a little bit older, so he's got to be. He must have died when he was like 70-ish.
So I'm saying, how old were you when you punched him? Like, you know, Mike was a kid. He was like, you know, 13 or something. How old were you?
No, I mean, we were probably 15 or 18 when he was, like I said, he was only a couple of years older than us.
Okay. I don't know anything about this guy. I don't. But if there's a dude going around asking only people under 18 to touch him, I'd be calling the cops. It's a little weird. Just like, hey, man, punch me in the stomach. Yeah, I don't care what it is.
We have full phone lines, Rich.
Okay.
Phone lines.
All right. Well, I can't see. All I can see is okay. I don't know. Then give me any of them. I need to know. I can't see who's on the phone. Just put somebody up there, if you don't mind, Tracy, who knows this guy. Oh, here we go. Number five. Line five. Whoever it is. Whatever
Anthony,
your name is.
Anthony.
Anthony, what's up, man? Hello? All right. Well, he said that this guy always wanted us to punch him in the face. I don't know. It was always the stomach, though?
For us, Mike? Yeah. It was always the stomach.
Okay. That just seems odd. All right, throw another one up there. I can't see it, so just throw someone up there. All right, who is this?
This is Xanadu. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about myself.
All right, Xanadu, hang on a second. Dude, I really want to talk to you, but right now I'm obsessed with a guy walking around Natick asking people to punch him in the stomach. Who apparently doesn't hear anyone.
I was calling on for blame Nick.
I was just told there were like full phone lines, and all I see is Xanadu and then a bunch of empty ones. So I guess he put you on there.
Yeah. Now people are dropping off. But don't worry. All six lines were ringing. All of them.
By the way, one of our listeners just tweeted, I love Rich's, what did the guy look like question? Oh, well, punch me in the stomach. I wore a 3-piece suit with a top hat. If you didn't get enough, he'd let you keep his Rolex.
So many broken monocles.
All right. If anybody knows this guy or knew this guy or had an experience with this guy, or if you had a local neighborhood legend that even compares to this guy, because I know that like Nick, You know, Nick over in Marshfield. Yeah, down in Marshfield. That's where the great yellow man used to live. Remember him? Like, you know, he was the guy who had the yellow house.
Yellow is happiness sunshine because you got two hearts.
That's right. So, I mean, you know, there was Yellow Man, who apparently did not like Red Man, who was a guy who dressed in all red, and they would be across the street and they would yell at each other, "You don't mess with Red Man," from what I heard. Yellow Man, you know, he was seemed to be a fairly happy guy. You know, he was all into
yellow,
you know, like,
is happiness sunshine. Takes two hearts to have the daughter.
Yeah, Red Man, just, you didn't mess with him. He was not a happy gentleman, but they did not like each other. And it was like these, you know, two, a superhero and a supervillain living in the same town. And apparently, on any given day, you could be driving down whatever that main drag is there in Marshfield, and you could see him on either side of the street yelling at each other. So if anybody has a local neighborhood superhero like Punch Me in the Stomach Guy, a.k.a. the Weatherman, I would like to hear about this. 617-779-0985. We'll take your calls next. And Xanadu, hang in there. We'll talk to you, too. Oh, and we have Connor Ryan, too, who covers the Bruins for the Boston Sports Show. We have a lot of stuff coming up. We'll get to all of it.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Drive home with Felger and Matt this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. So Mike sends us an email yesterday, Mike Lockhart, saying that there was a guy in his neighborhood who used to walk around Natick, and they called him the Weatherman because he used to yell out the weather. And then after he was done, he would go up to people and say, "Hey, please punch me in the stomach." And he would just lift up his shirt. And for some reason, Mike was a kid, so that I understand that. But for some reason, people would indeed oblige and punch this stranger who was just wants you to punch him in the stomach as hard as they could in the stomach. I'd be like, "Hey, cool, thanks." So I didn't realize that existed. I had never heard of the guy. And just real quick, Sean. Sean on line one. So you've met the Weatherman before?
Oh, yeah. So my whole family is down visiting me right now. We were just talking about John the Weatherman. We used to, you know, go down to Doug Pond and drink beers. And so, you know, he would just kind of appear out of nowhere. So he shows up and he's doing his, "Hey, you guys want to punch me?" "Yeah, yeah." So we're all taking turns. So I kind of upped the ante and said, "Hey, let me elbow you in the stomach." And he thought about it. And so I'm like, he agrees to it. So I'm going to send this guy into orbit. And I wind up, and at the last second, my foot slips out from under me, and I catch him high in the ribs with my elbow. And this guy, he starts screaming, "Oh, I think you killed me. I think you killed me. You broke my rib." So I felt bad. I mean, I wasn't trying to hurt him, but I just, my foot slipped out, and yeah, I know some friends from high school that spotted him not too long ago. You guys said he passed away, but they saw him somewhere on the North Shore and posed for pictures with him and posted on Facebook.
Yeah, and I might be wrong. I Googled it. Maybe his name is John and he's still going.
All right.
2018, I just looked it up.
Okay. Sean, I mean, first of all, I mean, I shouldn't be laughing at it, but I mean, the guy's asking people to punch him. So, I mean, something bad's going to happen. Like, you're gonna
I was just thinking, cost of doing business is hazard right to the job. You're going to get a broken rib occasionally.
Just to finally get a Tony. Tony's still alive.
Yes. John, his name is John O'Freya. He is still
I don't need
alive.
His whole name. I don't need his whole name. I just want to know, like, so he's still alive, okay, and he's walking around?
As of a week ago, he's still walking around shirtless. He looks like an overweight Harpo Marx.
Okay.
I've never seen this guy. I spent a lot of time in downtown Nick. I've never seen this guy.
Nick, listen, Nick, if you feel uncomfortable going out interviewing people during a pandemic, I totally understand. If you don't feel uncomfortable doing it, we need to find out this dude's story. Like, I need to know more Weatherman because I'm now obsessed with it. But, you know, Wang and
Rich
seem to have a superhero.
Like Rich, you got to reconnect. You got to reconnect. You're chirping in there. Rich is going to drop. He'll be back in a second. I'm so disappointed. I mean, I've been a proud resident of Natick, Massachusetts for about 13 years. I have never met this guy. I've never seen this guy. But as I said before, dozens of people. And Natick,
look at that common, the Natick common.
Yeah, I live right near there. There are a lot of people that have lived in Natick a long time that have told me about him, and I've always been curious, but I've never met him. Rich, you back?
Okay, I'm back. All right, so you know, as I said, every neighborhood seems to have this guy. I was talking about how, not him, but a superhero like that. And Nick had Yellow Man and Red Man, and Yellow Man had a house, everything in his front yard, and everything was painted yellow. He was obsessed with yellow. Josh on line 7, Josh, you say that Yellow Man and Red Man are both still around.
They are alive and kicking. I hate to fact check you guys, but you said they were from Marshfield, and you can't steal our superheroes. They're in Hanover.
Okay, that's right. They are. You're right. It is Hanover. You're absolutely right. I should have known that.
Red Man can still be found walking up and down Route 53 pretty much on a daily basis, and Yellow Man's house still exists. They had him clean it up a little bit, but it's back to its former glory.
And they hate each other, right? Like, they totally hate each other, right?
Arch nemesis. Yes. When Red Man walks by the house of Yellow Man, it is like World War II all over again.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I'm obsessed with those two guys. Let's go to Pete on line 6. Pete, apparently there is a superhero living in Quincy. Pete, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I grew up, I graduated in the late 80s, and Quincy High School is right sort of near the Quincy T, which is a big train station, and there used to be a guy up there called Mike the Winger, and he used to flick records and then, you know, as it progressed, CDs at you. So anyone in Quincy knows Mike the Winger.
Mike the Winger, he just would find random CDs?
I don't know where he had them stacked, but he always had, like, little 45 records, and then he progressed to CDs, you know, when CDs came out.
Did he say anything? Like, or he just would just toss him?
He'd mumble a couple of things and it'd say, "I'm gonna wing this," and it just flings the thing right at you. You'll get a lot of calls from Quincy, believe me.
They have. I'm looking at this. There's an article on this guy in the Patriot Ledger.
Mike the Winger?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, just get confirmation, Rich. The Weatherman is still alive.
Oh,
yes. All right. Well, I need to meet the Weatherman. I need to meet Mike the Winger.
Mike the Winger is passed on. But that's confirmed.
That's
yes.
All right. Don on line 3. Don, who is the Whistler?
All right. The Whistler. This was a guy named Walter. He was from the Worcester area. Rumor has it he used to walk around whistling because he got accused of fondling a little girl. So he would continue to walk and never slow, but always
whistle. These are not good. That's not a good story. I don't want that one. I don't want. Get that out of here. That's not a good one. I want, like, fun-loving guys that chuck CDs in people's heads. I don't want anything like that.
What possesses you to call up and talk about a guy like that?
Or what possesses you to put that on hold?
Oh, this is a fun show. Let me call in and talk about a guy who molested people. That's perfect. I can add that to the conversation. That'll be fun for everybody.
Right?
What are you thinking of?
All right, let's go to Manny on line 7. Crazy George doesn't have a nefarious past, does he?
That I know of, I don't know, but I know he's known for owning a lot of property and jogging around all year round without a shirt, no matter the weather, and going swimming in the Merrimack in the middle of winter. So that's all he's known for. You'll see him all over the city jogging around in the winter, shirtless. It doesn't matter. He's known as Crazy George.
Crazy George. Okay, all right, I see. All right, what does that magazine say about what was his name? Mike the Chucker?
Mike the Winger. The headline is 35 years later, Mike the Winger is still remembered in Quincy, and right up top there's a picture of his mother, who's got a picture holding a picture of the guy when he was younger, and it says, to a generation that came of age in the late 60s, he was nothing short of a local icon, the Pied Piper of Quincy. He died in 1977 at the age of 31.
All right, somebody said, well, he died in 1977.
Yes.
This guy? Well, no, because he was chucking CDs. CDs weren't out.
I'm looking at the article.
Maybe records.
Mike the Winger, still remembered in Quincy.
All right, then it's a different guy. Somebody said, look up the Red Shorts guy from Plum Island, Newburyport. All right, I just like the name.
All right.
Danny, I might know this. Danny, four. Tell me about the local bureau.
Yeah, so in Linfield, we had this guy named Light 'Em Up Larry. He actually passed away a few years ago, but he would ride his bike around town collecting cans and bottles, and whenever you see him, you'd yell, "Light 'Em Up," and he would rev his engine on the bike and speed away.
I've heard of Light 'Em Up Larry before. Light 'Em Up Larry is somebody I think that there's video of where, you know, he go woo woo. Yeah, he would start revving it up when you would say that. Like, light 'em up. That's a guy that for some reason I've heard of. Oh, hang on. Line 6 I've seen in action. Line 6, Matt, talk to me, cuz this is a dude that used to go around my neighborhood.
Yeah, so I went to Northeast and I lived around Mission Hill. And there was this guy we called One Arm Push-Up Guy. He would just go up to random college kids who were drinking. He would say, "Give me a buck, I'll give you do as many push-ups as I can." And so one time I gave him a buck, and he said, "All right, you're my buddy now." And he took me out, he bought me pizza, and he said, "Hey, you need a girl, you need anybody taken care of, you come call me."
Yeah, one-arm push-up man.
Care of?
One-arm push-up man used to make so much cash, because what he would do is he would walk up and down Boylston, and let's say it was Whiskey's, and it was 1 a.m, and there were, you know, these college students coming out, and they had a lot to drink. He would say, "If I can do 100 push-ups with one arm, will you give me $10?" And all these drunk guys, you can't do that. And so, all right, well, let's do it. And he would go down and kill it with one arm. He would just knock out 100 push-ups right in front of them, and he would take their money. And he did it like, I mean, he would just go up and down Boylston Street. He would go to, remember Foggy Goggle at the time? He would go all that whole strip right there and just collect cash. Oh, yeah, one-arm push-up guy. He's been a superhero that's been around for a while. Let's go to line 3, Matt. Who is Martini Guy?
Martini Guy lives in Norwood, and he has a decent-looking house on a main drag close to the high school. And you'll walk by during the day, and I'd say afternoon, he wears a tuxedo jacket, I think a cummerbund, but he's wearing shorts, and he has his cat. And he'll lift up the back part of his trunk of his truck, and he'll have a whole, like, ensemble of things shaking martinis and sitting there drinking until he's unconscious. Go on YouTube. There's a whole YouTube video on this guy.
All right. I got to see it. I know we're running late, but who is the champ, Joel, in Somerville? Who is the champ of Somerville? Line 6.
It was it actually wasn't Somerville. It was Harvard Square in Cambridge. So this guy, he was homeless. He used to sit outside a liquor store, and you would talk to him. He would always be shadow boxing, and he would tell you how he fought, like, Evander Holyfield and all these old-time boxers. And he would tell you his whole life story, and if you gave him a couple bucks, you would buy your booze at the liquor store.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there was a guy Harvard Square has a ton of interesting characters. And there was a dude. Do you remember the Harvard Square hippie puppeteer?
Yeah, yeah.
He used to have this giant thing set up where he would, like, it was these massive creepy puppets, and he would hide inside of them, these giant heads that were all creepy.
Are you happy with 84 cents on the dollar?
Like, this really strange voice would just come out of the darkness. Like, he had a microphone, and you see him hiding behind their mouths and things. And yeah, I mean, that dude, like, he really, really creeped me out. I think we've had him on the floor. All right. I mean, the phones are a neighborhood hero. Maybe we'll get back to this. We have to get to Connor Ryan and talk about the Bruins, but I mean, I see Tommy Two Guns is apparently a guy. there's
a lot of good stuff.
A Batman Suit Man. All right, so maybe we'll check in with all these later on. But my God, I need to find more information about the Weatherman, the guy who just let people punch him in the stomach. That is phenomenal. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll talk to Connor Ryan from the Boston Sports Journal about the Bruins and what he thought of last night's loss, even though I thought they looked pretty good, or at least they looked better. It was definitely a move in the right direction right after Joe Murray's headlines.
Cutcher and Rich.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy is a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near point now, Krug. High slot. It's fired. They score! A drive from the high slot that went through some traffic on the way to the Tampa Bay net, and the Bruins get it to deflect home. They're on the board, trailing 2-1.
We wanted to show a little more passion, more competitiveness than we did against the Flyers. I certainly thought we did that. Some of that is, you know, Tampa's become a natural rival. They're finding ways to win games at the end against us. We're going to have to obviously correct that. But I did like that our competitive spirit came out.
Five of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. By the way, in about 20 minutes, Danny Ainge will join us to talk about the Celtics, who absolutely destroyed the Nets last night. I think we expected it to be a win, but that was fairly impressive, even if it was a cruddy team they did it against. But Connor Ryan, he covers the Bruins for the Boston Sports Journal, a quality product, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Last night's game, Connor, or yesterday afternoon's game, rather, was not a win, but I think all we wanted to see was some sort of life or pride, because we had not seen any of that up to this point. What did you make of, from the second period on, is that something this team can build on, or are you more worried after what you saw?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a step in the right direction, and you kind of look at what, you know, the Bruins, you know, showed in those first two games against, you know, Columbus and Philly, and they kind of had nowhere to go but up, you know, when you look at kind of what they put out there. And it was definitely a step in the right direction when you see how they started in that game. You know, you get on 2-0, a couple of bad penalties, you know, too many men penalty, which leads to a power play goal, I think, 13 seconds later, so not the stat you're looking for. But as that game went on, they started playing more of that Bruins hockey that you're used to seeing against, you know, a loaded Tampa Bay team that, you know, wasn't even at their full strength without Steven Stamkos. So I think there's a lot you can kind of build off of this game. You know, they obviously showed a little bit more fight. You bring a guy like Nick Ritchie into that lineup who, again, the stats may not really stand out when you look at his overall game, but I think he's a guy who brings some value to this team, especially in, you know, a playoff round where things can get pretty testy. So I think there's a lot to build off of, but you still look at kind of the big picture of what the Bruins are trying to get out of this round-robin format. You know, going into the final game without any points on the board, you know, trying to fight to get out of that number four seed, they still got a whole bunch of questions that need to be answered, you know, before these playoff games really start to matter.
Well, Connor, we kept hearing this yesterday, not only from Tuca, but from, you know, Cassidy especially, saying that, you know, this year of all the years, it doesn't seem to matter as much where you're seated. First of all, do you believe that? Like, I mean, is how big, in your opinion, is the road or the path that you'd be on if you're in the top seed all the way down to the fourth?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely right when you just look at, you know, the way this playoff format is, where a lot of those perks that come from, you know, being, you know, the number one and number two seed, or especially with home ice advantage, I mean, all that stuff's pretty much, you know, thrown out based on where this new format is. I mean, you're all, either going to be in Toronto or Edmonton. You're all in the, you know, the same building, same, you know, pumped in music. So you don't really draw and get that advantage over a seven-game series like you usually would. Yeah, it'd be great to still have, you know, the perks of last change and be able to dictate those matchups a little bit more. But, again, it really doesn't matter nearly as much as it used to be. But, you know, that being said, you still want to, you know, build the easiest road for yourself. And for the Bruins to, you know, be the first President's Trophy winner to go into the playoffs, you know, without being the number one seed, that's not, you know, the ideal situation for this team. And I think when you look at building off of, you know, these last couple of games, you want to ideally see the Bruins, you know, building the game and kind of figuring out where these pieces best fit in the lineup. And other than, you know, maybe Sean Corrali's line and, you know, the Bergeron line took a little bit of a step forward in that game, you still have a whole bunch of question marks, especially with that David Krejci line in terms of finding out how best to get that line rolling. And you really don't have that much time before these games really start to matter.
Connor, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't concerned about Zdeno Chara's play here through the first three games the Bruins have participated in since they came back. I mean, yesterday there were times where he looked like a glacier trying to move around and cover some of these really quick Tampa Bay forwards. I mean, the competition is tough, and it just doesn't look like Chara. I'm not going to say he's out of shape because Chara's never out of shape, but it just doesn't look like he looks like he got a lot older, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a thing, you know, Brad Marchand has mentioned a couple of times talking to us that he thinks the biggest challenge for a lot of these older teams out of the gate is just, you know, getting back up to speed. I mean, you've got pretty much a whole offseason's worth of sitting around doing nothing. And again, Chara's been one of the first guys, you know, back at Warrior, you know, working to get that rust off, but still to go from, you know, 0 to 100, jump right back into a playoff setting for, you know, a guy like him, you know, it's definitely going to be an uphill climb. And, you know, that's another reason why you have to be worried about going into this next round. If, you know, let's say you're end up being the fourth seed and you got a team like Carolina who likes to get up the ice pretty quickly, if you're playing them in the first round, that's something you have to be cognizant of. And it could, you know, mean you're seeing a lot more of, you know, maybe Charlie McAvoy or Matt Grizzlick or Brennan Kahlo, a guy who can, you know, log those heavy minutes, but also is able to, you know, keep up with some of these faster forwards they might be matched up against, because it seems like Chara still has to work on building up that game and getting back up to speed during this, you know, very different ramp up.
I'm going to ask you what I've been asking almost everyone we've been talking Bruins with. Do you know what the hell's going on with Kasha and what happened? I know he's with them now, but what happened during the last month? Like, what's been going on? I know obviously there's the NHL's all shrouded in mystery and, you know, everything, you know, is a secret, but do you know any kind of inkling of what's going on with Kasha?
Well, yeah, it seems like, you know, everyone's obviously being pretty tight-lipped about it, and you've got that wide-ranging, you know, unfit to participate thing, which, you know, not a lot of information gets in and out in terms of, you know, the actual cause for a lot of these absences. Obviously, you look at, you know, the, you know, pictures of, you know, him and Pastrnak out in the North End, you have them practicing at that rink up in Malden, you know, those are obviously the things that you point to as the reason why he was quarantined for the time he did, but you still look at, you know, the quarantine and the protocols they have in place up in the, you know, up in the bubble. He was expected to be a guy that, all right, he misses the team charter, you know, last Sunday. You'd imagine he'd be a guy that once he gets up there, he has to quarantine in his hotel room for a couple of days. You know, that's the protocols that they have in the memo. Obviously that wasn't the case. I mean, he gets up there, you know, a couple of days later, he's able to practice, you know, right away. So whether it's, you know, he flew privately or they had some other kind of travel arrangements, you know, there's nothing kind of set in stone in terms of, you know, what was the actual cause or how he even got up there, which I think is, you know, the bigger question, because, you know, the way these protocols are so tight. I mean, you saw Tuukka Rask check, you know, a thing on an app and all of a sudden he's quarantined for 2 days. So they're very strict about these things. The fact that he's able to jump in right away, you know, it's a lot, you know, that has to be answered in terms of just how we got back up there.
All right. So, Connor, whether or not the Bruins have Kasha, they have major problems on the second and third lines. And we've talked to a lot of different Bruins people, and everyone has a different response. Jake DeBrusk skated with the second line in the first round robin game. He was dropped down to the third line yesterday and really wasn't much of a factor in either place. What's your pick on how these lines could possibly shake out? Because right now it looks like they're rearranging deck chairs.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at this upcoming game against Washington, obviously, I think Andrei Kasha is going to be the first guy in there. And it's a lot of pressure for, you know, a guy that has only played 6 games with the Bruins. Obviously, he, you know, hasn't been in, you know, a game situation since, you know, mid-March going with this team. And it's a lot of pressure for a guy that ideally, you know, you imagine he'd be a guy that would fit in right away and, you know, be that, you know, shot first winger that works really well with a guy like David Krejci. So far, that really hasn't been the case during that short sample size they've been together. But he's going to get, you know, the first look there on Sunday against Washington. You know, maybe a guy like Jack Sinica, who, you know, really impressed in that game on Thursday against Columbus and took a little bit of a step back. He could be a guy that could get slotted back in there, even though I think the Bruins are viewing him more as a depth guy. He's another guy you don't really want to roll out in the middle of a playoff, you know, run like this. But then, you know, the big question now is what do you do at left wing with Krejci? Because, you know, in most years, even if he's been a little bit up and down, you'd imagine Jake DeBrusk is a guy you can at least pencil in there, and you kind of know what he brings. You know the chemistry he has with David Krejci. That really hasn't been the case, you know, especially, you know, during these last couple of games. Is it, you know, better to put him back up there rather than have him, you know, play right wing with Coyle, where, I mean, again, as you said, he really was a non-factor in that game yesterday. He had zero shots on goal in like 60 minutes of ice time. But who best fits in at that left wing spot? You know, I mean, is Nick Ritchie the answer there? Like, I think he's got value on this team. I don't know if it's really in a top six role. So maybe a guy like Anders Bjork, who's been one of the few guys who's really kind of stood out both during phase three and during these last couple of games, maybe he gets a look. But, you know, as you said, there's a whole bunch of answers they have to kind of, you know, work on to get, you know, that Krejci line rolling.
All right, Connor Ryan, we appreciate you coming on. He covers the Bruins for the Boston Sports Journal. Man, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you.
All right. So this is really interesting. I just saw this, and I don't know if he's made an official decision, because I have not seen this, but this sure sounds like it. So I know yesterday there was talk about Tre'Davious White, you know, from the Bills, mm-hmm. arguably their best player, saying that he might be opting out. And I think the players have till 4 o'clock today opt out. And Tre'Davious White just tweeted this. He said, "Crazy that me choosing my family's well-being over a game comes with so-called fans attacking and questioning me, saying I'm selfish. No, you guys are selfish for thinking that football is bigger than life. Oh, by the way, my girl's grandfather passed from COVID. You understand now." So, and I've been looking to see if whether or not anybody like Adam Schefter has been tweeting that Tre'Davious White has opted out, but that sure sounds like it right there. So yeah, that might be him telling the world that this is it. And if you're going to see any, because I saw a report that came out yesterday from, it might have been from Mike Garofolo or one of those guys, saying that today's to expect big names to opt. Tre'Davious White's not the big name that I thought of. I mean,
oh, no.
When it's a big,
I think you have to understand how big this really is. Stephon Gilmore was a first team all pro cornerback. You know who the other cornerback was?
Tre'Davious White's a big name, but he's not a starting quarterback. Like, that's something that would rock the NFL.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, like, I'm talking about, like, right now, you're getting big names. You're not getting ones that would really cause a seismic ripple. Like, let's say someone like Aaron Rodgers, which would also make Joe Murray the Nostradamus of the show, because he thought that it would be funny if he ended up opting out, which would be hysterical.
Drew Brees,
but like
would be
if some,
you know,
yeah, like something like that. If you got like a starting quarterback to opt out, then I wonder just how many people would. But the Tre'Davious White things obviously makes things interesting for the AFC East.
It's huge for a Buffalo Bills team that thinks they might have a shot to win the division this year. That is their best defender. He is their best defensive back, and he is not playing this year.
Keep an eye out today. Yeah, keep an eye out today, because this is the day. And I know that they can opt out later on and still get the benefits. Not benefits, but I guess the type of pay that you get. I think it's like $350,000 or something like that if you opt out. But there's certain conditions that you have to meet, like someone in your family has to get sick or, you know, they're like that. But today is going to be a big day. But if that's true, wow, that's a huge blow in the AFC East. So I know a lot of people still thought that the Bills had a chance to win this division, and that is a major hit for their chances. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back, and in just a couple of minutes, Danny Ainge will join the show.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and...
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 of Sports Hub. I think we made Xanadu mad. He called in. He wanted to do a Bruins like pep talk thing. I like Xanadu. We accidentally put him on during the segment where people were calling in with their neighborhood superheroes, like, you know, the guy who whipped CDs at your head, or the dude who said punch me in the stomach over in Natick, the weatherman. And he ended up tweeting. He was like, dude, I wanted to come on. And he's like, should I call back in? I tweeted it back. I was like, yeah, call in now. And I haven't heard back from him.
Well,
so,
you know what? He usually has the fast pass to get on the program, and you just shut him off. I mean,
I like Xanadu.
I know.
He was about to change the subject drastically.
I know. You make it sound like I'm attacking you. I think I'm just laying it out for you. I understand why he's upset. You had to make a tough decision there. Xanadu is a great friend of the program, but this was one of those rare times where you're like, you know what? We can't have it done. And you know what? I would bet he's calling in as we speak.
Well, he's going to unfortunately have to stay on hold because Danny Ainge is calling him right now. I told him, I was like, call him before Danny Ainge. I didn't give him much of a window. Is that him right there? Is he on now?
He was, okay. And then he just heard us talking again and hung up again.
I would have given him 30 seconds.
He'll call back.
Well, he's going to have to call after Danny Ainge.
Then. Yes.
All right. Yeah. So we have Danny Ainge. He's going to talk Celtics with us and everything going on with the bubble. No commercials, just Joe Murray's headlines and then Danny Ainge.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to it, and now I'm pissed.
Rich. Put your dress as an ape and jump out of the bushes.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Edwards to 12 feet, drop back to Robert Williams, cranks one up from the top of the circle and hits on his career night. 18 for Robert Williams in 16 minutes. He is 7-for-7 from the floor. That's the longest jumper he's hit in the NBA.
Those numbers going to look so good.
.985 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. It was the Robert Williams show last night. We got to see the Celtics beat up on a team that really isn't very good. However, that team did beat the Milwaukee Bucks a day earlier. But either way.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.